Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching comes from a recent seminar that Andrew did in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. This classic teaching on spirit, soul, and body is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
But the truth is, in the Spirit, you've been sanctified and perfected forever. Look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Remember that this is the same book, same author. It wasn't written in chapter and verses. It's the same context. And so it's not a new thought. And he explains very clearly that this is the Spirit that is sanctified and perfected forever. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, "But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Remember, this is the same book. And so, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 and 14 says, "You've been sanctified and made perfect forever." Now this says clearly, it's the spirits of men that have been made perfect. Not your body. Your body still has a future perfection when we receive a glorified body. It's not your soul. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that we only know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then we'll know all things, even as also we are known. Your soul isn't perfect yet. But your little spirit is perfect. Your born again spirit is perfect. It's perfect. It's pure. It's holy. It's righteous. And it's sealed so that it's never going to change. Regardless of what you do. If you go live in sin, you give Satan inroad into your body. If you go out and commit sexual sins, you expose yourself to sexually transmitted diseases. You expose yourself to the guilt and the shame that your own conscience is going to bring upon you. You expose yourself to people's ridicule and people rejecting you. And it's just silly. It's stupid to go live in sin. But it doesn't affect your born-again spirit. Your spirit is sanctified and perfected forever. And God is a spirit, and you can worship Him in spirit and in truth. So if somebody said, "Well, are you just saying then that we can go live in sin?" Well, I'm saying that it doesn't affect God's attitude towards you if you live in sin. But there's two things to say. First of all, if you've truly been born again, you don't want to live in sin. That's the point that's being made in Romans chapter 6, verse 2, verse 16, a number of different places. It says in 1 John chapter 3, in verses 1 and 2, it says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And then in verse 3 it says, "Every man that has this hope in Him," this hope about the love of God and being like Jesus, "purifies himself, even as He is pure." If you are truly born again, you want to live for God. You aren't looking for an excuse to go live in sin. You want to overcome sin. You want to live above being a drunk, being a drug user, being a prostitute, a person that just rebels at God. You don't want to live that kind of life. Any person who would take what I'm saying and say, "Oh, I love this because now I can go live in sin," you ought to get born again. You aren't saved. And there's a lot of people who aren't born again who are just religious. And they need to be born again. They need to be saved. So that's the first thing. But also, if you are a Christian and if you do live in sin, you're giving Satan an inroad into your life. And you don't want to give him that kind of deal. You know, the Bible tells us to obey the laws of the land. It told you to obey those that are in authority over you. But you could leave this place and go out here and say, well, man, Andrew says that I'm sanctified and perfected forever, and it doesn't matter what I do. God's not going to reject me. And so you just drive a 100 in a 60-mile zone and go out there and drive. And you know what? It's true. God's not mad at you. God doesn't hate you. God feels exactly the same about you. But when the police stop you, tell them, say, well, Andrew says that I'm still righteous. And it doesn't matter what Andrew says or what God says about you. They'll go ahead and give you a ticket and it'll cost you money. Or you could have a wreck and you could kill yourself and things could happen. There are consequences to the way you act. But it's not going to change God's attitude towards you. God is a spirit. And to worship Him, to have a relationship with God, you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So if you've understood what I've said, this will not set you free to sin, but it'll set you free from sin. It won't encourage you to go live in sin. I am not encouraging sin. You know, I am really glad that God called me to preach this message, because some people, if I was living a sinful life, if I was out doing terrible things, then people would be able to come and say, well, see, you're just preaching this because it allows you to get away with sin. I live a holier life than most of you have ever thought of living. I'm not saying that to criticize anybody. I'm just saying I've lived a super holy life. I'm 59 years old. I have never said a word of profanity in all of my 59 years. I have never smoked a cigarette. I have never tasted any kind of liquor. I have never tasted coffee. It's true. Some of you are thinking, coffee? You've got a scripture that you can stand on for drinking coffee. Mark chapter 16, verse 18 says, you can drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you. Amen. I'm just saying, I've lived a holy life. You can't look at me and say that this message that you're preaching encourages sin. It's not true. I live holier than most of you. I study the Word more than most of you. I pray more than most of you. I live holy. The only reason I say that is just to say that this message has not encouraged me to live in sin, and it doesn't encourage other people to live in sin. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 12, that the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly and righteously in this present age. The grace of God, if you understand it properly, doesn't encourage you to sin, but it makes you so thankful to God that He has been so gracious to us when we don't deserve it, that you serve God more accidentally than you ever have on purpose before. Amen. So this is good news. And if you could really embrace what I've said this morning and this afternoon, you know what this would do? It would make you so excited about who you are in Christ that you would begin to study the Word like you've never studied it before to find out who you are in Christ. And then the Scripture says in Proverbs 23:7, as he thinks in his heart, that's the way he is. If you begin to start seeing yourself that I got the same power that raised Christ from the dead, I am now in right standing. I can go boldly before God, even though I'm not everything that I'm supposed to be in my natural self. I'm not going to approach Him in my natural self. I'm going to approach Him in spirit and in truth. You would start spending more time with God. God would start speaking to you. You would hear His voice. God would direct your steps. Miracles would start happening. Your life would be changed. You would become so excited that you couldn't even sleep at night, thinking about what God has done and who you are, and everything in your life would change. And then you'd begin to start being a greater witness to other people, instead of looking at them saying, don't you want to be like me? There'd be some joy in your life, and there'd be health and victory and joy and peace, and people would start coming to you and saying, what makes you different? Why aren't you bothered over the financial things like everybody else is? Why aren't you operating in fear? How come you aren't afraid? And instead of having to cram the gospel down people's throats, They'd come to you and they'd ask you, what do you have that makes you different? And you would start experiencing revival and lives changed and miracles would happen and good things would happen. And people would persecute you. I'm not saying that everybody will love it. I get a lot of people. There's a lot of people that hate me. There's people in this room today that don't understand what I'm saying. And they're going to go out of here and say, Andrew said that you can go live in sin. He's encouraging people to sin. There's people that go out of here and lie about me. And things will happen. But you know what? There's also a lot of people in here that will get set free today. And this will change your life. And you just have to choose to look at the ones who are receiving and forget the ones who aren't. Amen? This will change your life. I tell you, this is awesome. If we could just understand what we have, it would change your life. I don't know how a person can be depressed. It's impossible to be depressed thinking about what I've talked about today. You just couldn't do it. It would be impossible to be lonely thinking about what I've talked about today. You have to be only in the natural realm to be lonely. If you get to seeing who you are in Christ, God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with you. There's zero reason to be lonely if God Himself is with you. Why would you be upset about what people say if you know what God says about you? If God is pleased with you, who cares what somebody else thinks? See, this is how I cope with people that get mad at me. And there's always people that get mad and because I'm violating what tradition has said. They'll come up and I have people attack me and say terrible things. But the way I cope with that is I just look at them and think, who are you? God Almighty loves me. God keeps my picture in His wallet. God's got an 8x10 of me on His mantle in heaven. And who are you to reject me? I just don't care. It's not that I don't care about you, but in comparison to Jesus, I just think about who I am in the Spirit and what God has said about me, and I cope with it. And you can overcome criticism of people. You can overcome failure. You can overcome hurts and pains. You can overcome sickness. You can overcome poverty. There is nothing that these truths won't give you the key to understanding. This will change your life in every single area. Amen? And tonight I got a lot more to share about this. We are just barely scratching the surface on it. Amen? So I encourage you to come back tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I minister these words to my brothers and sisters here, and I'm asking You, Father, that You would open up our heart. We pray the prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14 and following, that You would give unto us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open up the eyes of our understanding.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the subject of spirit, soul, and body. This teaching series was recorded at a special Holland GTS in Amsterdam. It's available in a 3-part album on CD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM231 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net.